Lord have commenced this evening with hymn 610. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners, we are such to thee willing, that thy spirit now dwells, and with love our souls inspire. Fill us with that love which casts out thee. 610.
Thank you. from Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, reading chapters 1 and 2. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, reading chapters 1 and 2. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. The margin reads, ye all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some, indeed, preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretence or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labour, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that minister to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Dear Lord, we come to thy mercy seat once again. O thou knowest how many times in life's pathway we have approached thy mercy seat. Gracious God, thou knowest the help and strength and grace that thou hast given to us. And we pray, Lord, as we start this service this night, that thou wouldst draw near and come and teach thy living family and lead them in that way everlasting, that they may be brought to know thee, the King eternal, immortal, invisible, God only wise, and to follow thee in obedience to thy heavenly commandments. Lord, we pray for thy work, thy workmanship. We have read of it in thy holy word. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And gracious God, we pray that again and again in life's pathway we may know the blessedness of those everlasting arms underneath, and prove that the eternal God is our refuge. Gracious God, it is thy presence we desire. One said, in thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I am secure. In thy presence all afflictions I can easily endure. And Lord, we pray for thy strength and thy grace as we journey onward, that we may be made as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter, and that we may be still and know no will but thine, that we may be enabled to say, Lord, do what seemeth thee good, and that we may be enabled to run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus, its author and its finisher. For Lord, thou knowest, we cannot live without thee here below, and we have lent on thee, thou knowest, dear Lord, over many years, and seek again and again in the deeper waters of life's pathway to prove thee to be that unchangeable God. We have to confess to much unbelief, many fears, Lord, and many temptations. But oh, we pray for grace to be enabled to trust in thee at all times, and to pour out our hearts before thee, to find, Lord, that blessed rest in thyself, that peace which passeth all understanding, to know thy dear will, and Lord, be made willing to follow thee in the pathway which thou wouldst have us to go. Gracious God, we pray for the work of thy Spirit. Thou hast ordained the ministry, even the foolishness of preaching, as the instrument in thy hands. Thy servants are but human instruments in the purposes of God. And dear Lord, we seek this night that thy will might be done in earth as it is in heaven. Bless the foolishness of preaching, and use it in thy own divine purposes, that thy holy word may have free course and be glorified. Thou hast promised, I will work, and who shall let it? And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst work in the hearts of thy dear people, young and old, that there may be a learning of thee, a sweet fellowship with thyself in thy sufferings, a coming to thy mercy seat, and, Lord, a learning of that blessed truth, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Lord, there are those mountains which thou wilt fly. And gracious God, we seek that our eyes may be ever up unto thee, knowing that thou canst do more abundantly than we can even ask or think. And so we pray this night for grace and wisdom and strength, the anointing of thy Spirit, the leading into thy holy word, the leading into the cases of those here before us this night, that their souls may be blessed, they may be taught, they may be strengthened in their most holy faith, and they may be brought on their way with peace and quietness in their hearts, a little rest in thyself, that there may be a knowledge, Lord, of thyself in thy finished work in their hearts, that they may know something of the blood of the Redeemer shed upon their souls to bring their consciences clean and clear, and to enter into that sweet peace of God which passeth all understanding. Lord, work, we pray thee, and grant, gracious God, that there may be a growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, how we need thee. We need thee continually. But gracious God, we pray, we may be given grace to follow hard after thee. We may be kept from following thee at a distance. We may be like that one who came out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. And Lord, we have to lean, thou knowest, upon thyself. But gracious God, we have proved in life's pathway, as we have leant upon thee, that thou art that one who changes not, and thou dost richly supply our every need out of thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, thou hast said, I am with thee, Israel passing through the fire. And dear Lord, we seek that we may know what it is to be enabled to bow before thy will as we enter into the mystery of that hymn, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And Lord, we have proved in life's pathway that thou dost ride upon the storm. Oh, look down then here this night. Thou seest each heart. Thou knowest the exercises and the concerns. Lord, graciously manifest thyself individually in the souls of thy dear people. As we felt this morning, Lord, thou dost have those multitude of petitions at the mercy seat, and yet, gracious God, thou dost answer them individually and personally. And we pray there may be a learning of thee, a following hard after thee, a resting upon thyself in our need and weakness. Lord, that thou wouldst be our strength, and that thou wouldst undertake for us in all things, and help us, gracious God, to roll our burdens upon thee. Oh, for that blessed grace of thy Spirit, to be made to be careful for nothing, but, Lord, to put our hand into the hand of our God and go out into the dark, that unknown future, that we may be enabled to find our rest in thyself, who art faithful, merciful, unchangeable. Lord, we change. Thou knowest we are changeable creatures, but oh, how we need thy grace. And Lord, especially we pray for faith, the blessed increase. Oh, to be enabled to trust in thee and to find our rest in thyself. And now, dear Lord, we pray for the work of thy Spirit in the church and congregation here. Lord, look down upon thy sent servants as they come in and out amongst them. Gracious God, use them. And may there be a work that will stand in that great day when the secrets of every heart will be examined, and when there will be a testing of that which is professed. Lord, we seek that there may be a possession of those things which cannot be shaken, which will remain, those things which are thy workmanship. Lord, those things which thou hast done in the heart, those things which thou hast given to the soul, those sweet touches of thy love and presence, Lord, in that great day, there may never be heard those awful words, I never knew you. But Lord, there may be those here who may be enabled to say with the dear apostle, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Gracious God, we pray for the church. It assembles this night at thy table. Lord, we pray thou wouldst be with each of the members and hear their prayers. We pray for the movements of thy Spirit here in the midst. We pray, Lord, that there may be given an exercise concerning the ordinances of thy house, that there may be a building up, peculiarly in the house of prayer. Lord, that there may be a building up in the church, that thou wouldst work by thy Spirit, and gracious God, that there may be an obedience to thy commandments. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And as we have in thy word, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And Lord, we have to prove it as we look back over the pathway, what thou hast brought us through and the things that thou hast strengthened us to do. And Lord, we know that thou canst give strength and grace to follow thee in the ordinances of thy house, in sweet obedience and implicit obedience to thy heavenly commandments. For Lord, thou hast laid this ordinance and the ordinances of thy house in the church for the benefit of thy dear people, that they may be brought to confess their most holy faith and their trust in thee, and Lord, their separation from this world that lieth in wickedness, and are coming out, buried, as we read, with Christ in baptism, raised with him to newness of life. And Lord, what we ask here, we ask in the churches, that there was raised up a following generation. And Lord, we pray that thou would strengthen the church and build it up. And gracious God, we seek that thou would send out other labourers into the ministry. We thank thee in recent years that thou hast sent many new ministers into the preaching of the gospel. Lord, many of us have long passed the allotted span of life, and one by one we see thy dear servants weakening and their strength taken from them. But Lord, we pray for Zion still, while life and breath remain, and it is to our encouragement that thou art raising up other young ministers. Lord, that there is yet a work to be done in Zion, a people to be gathered in. And gracious God, we pray for the young here, Lord, that thou wouldst remember them. Oh, leave them not in death's dark veil, but bring them into the land of the living, Lord, that thou wouldst work in their hearts, and call them by thy grace, that thy holy word may touch their hearts with divine power, and there may be, Lord, a sweetness in it, and, Lord, there may be a right beginning in their souls, in their youth. Lord, we read in thy holy word, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. And gracious God, we pray for them, that they may be enabled to remember their Creator and be brought to bow their knees at thy mercy seat and to seek thy help in their youth. And as they face, Lord, in life's pathway and must face many, many burdens and problems, oh, may they be enabled to look up to thee and to seek thy help and thy strength. Those things which they may feel they cannot do, Lord, thou dost give strength to do. And Lord, we pray for that enabling grace to be manifest in their lives and hearts. Lord, look down, we pray thee, on the dear aged ones as they draw near their journey's end, many in our Bethesda homes and many others we think of, Lord, living to great old age. Oh, how they draw near to eternity. And we pray for them, that they may in weakness of mind and body be enabled, Lord, to stand. For we are well persuaded that the work of grace is untouchable in their hearts. and that thou wilt keep them and receive them to glory in thy own ordered time and way. And gracious God, we pray for thy sent servants this night as they stand up in thy holy name, that thou wouldst pour out thy Spirit upon them and grant them a little sweet liberty to proclaim the truths that they know and love, and that, Lord, thy holy word may be as that good seed in good ground. Once again, gracious God, we pray for this nation in its vast darkness. Our rulers, Lord, we commend to thee. Oh, that thou wouldst overrule. We know that the government is upon thy shoulders. And gracious God, we see wicked men in high places in this land. And the solemn abandonment of thy word and thy law and thy day. And we would mourn because of the abominations done in the land. But, O gracious God, we pray for the tiny remnant, that as thou didst hear the prayer of Gideon, so thou wilt hear the prayer of the tiny remnant in this land, that thou wouldst yet appear and have mercy upon us. Look upon our denomination of churches. Lord, thou seest how low we're coming. And, O gracious God, what a great falling away has taken place. And we know not what thy will is. But, dear Lord, we pray, thou wouldst come once again and pour out thy Holy Spirit, that there may yet be a building up and a work manifested. Look down, we pray thee then, upon this darkened land, and turn the vast tides of iniquity. We pray for the Queen and the Prime Minister and his Cabinet, our parliamentary assemblies in Lords and Commons. O gracious God, raise up a witness, if it could be thy sovereign will, in high places. Be with us now, and be with us, and undertake for us as we come once again to preach thy holy word. We seek, Lord, thy presence here this night, the anointing of thy Spirit, divine help and strength. And gracious God, we pray that thy holy word may be used in thy hand to thine own honour and glory. We seek, gracious God, these mercies for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 803, the second part. And did the darling Son of God for sinners deign to bleed, the purchase of that precious blood must needs be rich indeed. 803, the second part.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to Philippians, Paul's epistle to the Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We need to remember where the Apostle Paul was at this time. He said in the chapters we have read, my bonds in Christ. He was in prison and he was in chains. And yet the Lord had brought his dear servant to this very place, as he says in that opening chapter, that the gospel may abound yet more and more. And he had to learn this lesson, that whether he was free to preach the gospel and travel, or whether he was in prison, the Lord was with him, and he could do all things. He could suffer, and he could enter into the solemn persecution which he was suffering for the gospel's sake, and he could stand. This is peculiarly the word of a man who had experience of his God. He knew the presence and strength of Christ throughout his life since the day that the Lord had called him on the road to Damascus. I spoke this morning of the solemn difference between a head knowledge of Jesus Christ and a heart knowledge of him. To know him in our hearts by sweet power and to know his presence in our lives is something which is very blessed. And there is a beginning in life's pathway when we begin to learn what it is to do all things through Christ. There is a looking up to him in prayer and a wrestling with him. I wonder how many of you have one thing that you felt perhaps you could never do, and you have been enabled to do through seeking the Lord's strength and presence. The Apostle speaks here so clearly of all things. As we pass through life's pathway, it is to know what it is to rest on the Lord and to prove him to be that unchangeable God who never fails us, who is always present to help us, and who strengthens us in the way. As I look back over my own life, many times I can see some of those solemn all things which I felt at the time I could never do. I remember as a student, when the Lord called me out of the world with those words coming out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. In my university day, in my hall of residence, I knew then I had to get down by my bed in front of my fellow students and pray. I can do all things. Oh, I remember the anxiety I felt. But you know, the Lord helped me. And there came a time when I had to go into the army to do national service. And then there came an even greater struggle. Because in front of a room of 60 men, none of whom I knew in the first night in the army, I knew that if I never got down by my bed that night, I would never get down at all. And I bowed my knee that night in that room of 60 men by my bedside, and I expected some boot to hit me, but it didn't. There was a total silence in the room. I never forget that night. And afterwards, so sweetly, about six of those men came to me and said, I pray secretly. There were secret disciples. But you know, I say this to you, I look back on it now, I could never have done it of my own accord. I can do all things. This was the beginning of the all things. But you know, as life has gone on, there have been solemn all things. When we look at this apostle, what he had to pass through, the persecution, the hatred, the malice that surrounded him, the stoning at Antioch, and the bitter hatred and persecution. Oh, how he had to wrestle onward all the time. But you know, as I look on some of you young ones, I wonder what you know about strengthening. Weakness lies at the root of this. Our weakness, our fears, our temptations, our saying within ourselves, I can never do that, and grace given to do it, and to venture upon it. And you know, there are solemn things which enter into life's pathway, which the Lord brings his dear people into, solemn paths and places where he brings us, into those places where we have to look up to him, where we're brought to know great weakness, many temptations, many fears, and we have to pray to him. Now, as I spoke this morning, I can do all things. How? Oh, the pathway is prayer, wrestling prayer, that the Lord would grant strength in our weakness, in the face of our many fears and temptations, that he would come and make his presence known with us. The Lord's dear servant Moses felt the solemnity of it. He wanted the presence of his God, the felt presence of his God. When his dear people are brought to weakness, then under heavy burdens and crosses and thorns in the flesh, they want the Lord to speak in their hearts with divine power. And I tell you this, my experience has been in my greatest weaknesses and times of great temptation, he has been near me. He has been manifest in my heart, his presence. He has spoken in my soul. I spoke this morning of those exceeding great and precious promises. And the Lord gives them to us in an hour of need. Oh, how he applies them with divine power. And he strengthens his dear people like he did his dear servant Elijah when he ran before the chariot of Ahab. And he strengthened him to stand alone upon Mount Carmel. The Lord's presence enabled him to do what he could never have done in his own strength. It was the blessed presence of his God with him. I say again, our text this evening is the language of his dear people in the path of experience where they have known his presence. Now you ask yourself tonight, have I known his presence in life's pathway? Has he been with me? Has he brought me through those things which I felt I could never pass through without his presence? I spoke this morning of that peace which the Lord gives when he takes away all fear. It is his presence. In thy presence I'm happy. In thy presence I'm secure. In thy presence all afflictions I can easily endure. And I tell you this, very sad, very solemn. The world knows nothing of it, and they have no desire for it. But God's dear children long to know it, long to know his presence, long to know his strength, long to be guided by him, and led by him. Long to know those eternal and everlasting arms underneath, and feel that the eternal God is their refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I thought of some of those things which I have said in my life I could never do. And one of them that rests upon my spirit tonight is baptism. It has long rested on my mind. I have not preached it much over the years, but since I have been afflicted in this affliction, it has rested upon my mind to look back to my own pathway in that ordinance, so neglected and despised. But you know, there may be those of you here, and I was like it. When the Lord laid the exercise on my heart, I said, "No, Lord, I can't do it. I can't go that way." I was full of fear and temptation. And the Lord requires implicit obedience to his heavenly commandments. And he calls his people to follow him in that solemn ordinance which typifies death and resurrection. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised with him to newness of life. You know, it's not till we get the other side and prove as we pass through the way that we know what the strength of God is to be enabled to do it. We venture with many fears and many temptations in his strength. And I tell you this, the night I was baptized, I felt the most dreadful fear like a knife go through my heart at the beginning of the service. But I can tell you this, as I stood at the head of the waters of baptism waiting to go down in, I felt absolute peace. And I remember saying inwardly to myself, "If this is death, I desire no more." Oh, the blessedness of those things which we feel we cannot do, and we cannot obey him. And I have watched and seen over the years. I remember going with my late father once to visit a dying man, and he said to my father, 15 years ago, I was exercised about coming forward, and I never came. If I rise from this bed, I'll come." He never rose. And as I left the house with my father, he turned to me and said, "As far as I'm concerned, he's baptized, made willing to walk in that sacred ordinance with the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, it is a knowledge of him that we're brought to profess. How blessed that is, to confess him before men and to follow in his footsteps the pathway he walked. Now let us remember that when he walked this earth, he was a man of prayer himself, and that he came into Gethsemane with those blessed words, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." We know that with him on Calvary's cross, there was to be that great sacrifice for sin. And yet, it was to him, as he knew the pathway he had to walk, and had prophesied which way, the way he would go, he knew what lay before him, the solemn agony and suffering, and the burden of the sins of his dear people, and the hiding of his Father's face. Oh, how we see him passing this way himself. Now, peculiarly, as he walked that way himself and was strengthened to do it in all his weakness, the apostle says, in I think his letter to the church at Corinth, we are weak with him. Oh, how he brings us down again and again in life's pathway to realize that we can do nothing without him. We can do nothing, we can stand in no affliction and no trial without his presence. And so this is a blessed confession before God of the Apostle Paul, of those things that he can do in the strength of his God. That blessed strength which the Lord gives as he speaks into the hearts of his dear children and enables them to stand, and having done all, to stand. Now, that strength is peculiarly in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the strength that he obtained as he walked this earth in his humanity here below. It was that love and that mercy and that shedding of his precious blood that brought this blessed strength into being that he gives to his dear people. They can stand in the face of many temptations and much guilt and sin by the strength of Christ. They know their weakness, their unbelief, their poverty, their inability. It is a basic fact that his people must be brought to know their weakness. The blessed truth is this: when I'm weak, then am I strong. We are never stronger or strengthened by Christ than when we're weakest, when we're brought to our lowest ebb, when we're brought right down. I have felt this in this present affliction, that I have been brought down and yet strengthened with all might in the inner man to know his presence, and that we can do those things which we felt we could not do, that we can stand in this evil day, and having done all, to stand. The apostle could speak so blessedly of those visits of his God to his soul and of his presence with him, of his love and mercy which he'd known and which the Lord had given to him, that faithfulness to him throughout his pathway, and gave him hope regarding the future, that the Lord would never leave him nor forsake him. Now I say to you tonight, look back in your pathway and examine yourself, and examine the work of God in your heart, and search out those things which he's brought you through, what he's done for you, what prayers he's answered for you, what blessed words of promise he's given to you. Oh, how blessed these places are in life's pathway. They're ever to be remembered. The children of Israel had those places in the desert where the Lord was with them, and they marked them with those heaps of stones. They were places never to be forgotten. When the Lord was there, and when they knew his presence, and they knew the power that enabled them to stand. And that is a very blessed thing to have in life's pathway, that a blessed place where your Lord and yourself met together, and where he strengthened you, and where he came into your exact case and need, and where you felt he was with you, and where you knew those eternal and everlasting arms underneath, where you proved the blessedness of the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord knows the weakness of his dear people, and peculiarly he brings them down into those places of great weakness that he might visit their soul with his strength. Strengthened. Oh, what a blessed word it is to know what it is to feel the Lord's strength with us in the way, and to be enabled in sweet experience to say, I can do all things. What the apostle was looking to was forward. He that has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. We read of the hope of God's dear people, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. And the Lord does that. He works through tribulation to raise up in the hearts of his dear people a blessed hope as they look forward that he will never leave them nor forsake them. But again and again they have within their heart that solemn spirit of unbelief and many fears and temptations, and they will always find as life goes on that they constantly need to turn to this blessed strength of their God. They will ever find it until we're brought down to a dying hour. The apostle could say this as we read this evening. To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He knew what it was to have a hope. And I do say to you tonight, what is your hope built on? Are there those times behind you in life's pathway, you may be young, but has the Lord brought you through those pathways where you have known his strength in your weakness, known his presence in your weakness, known what it is for him to speak to you in your souls? There will be precious times. Times when you pass through fire and water and solemn bitter cups to be drunk and bitter paths to be walked out, you now look back on them. You were brought through. You were helped. You felt his presence. His word sweetly dropped into your heart, and you knew what it was to be comforted by him. How solemn it is to be without such blessed spots. I say again tonight, this is the language of one of his dear people who has passed through much tribulation and has proved his God to be faithful. Oh, have you proved him to be faithful? You may have passed through much darkness, many temptations, feeling that the Lord had left you, and that you were abandoned and without hope, and yet you longed to have a hope. You longed for the Lord to give you a word from his own lips. You longed for him to visit your soul. And he has drawn near and visited your soul and spoken to you a word in your heart, and you have known what it was to be mightily strengthened. A little hope has been raised up, a ray of light in your darkness and your temptations. And you know it's on the basis of this. When the Lord does visit the hearts of his dear people, it's on the basis of this that they can say, in the language of the Apostle Paul here, I can do all things. They know where their strength is. They are not resting upon themselves. They know that they alone can fight that good fight of faith to lay hold on eternal life only through their God and only through his strength and his presence. I can do all things. How comprehensive that is. It is not the language of self-confidence. It is not the apostle speaking of his own strength. It's so beautifully written. How did he stand? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you know, we need that strength all our days. We shall, all through life's journey, need his strength and his grace to be with us and to enable us to endure and to stand throughout life's journey. What a blessed mercy then that the Lord should so have mercy upon us and come into our needs and come just where we are in our cases to bring them to him in all our needs, in every part of life's pathway, in every situation and circumstance in which we may come to prove the blessedness of his strength. I think of those words, I am with thee. I wonder how many of you understand them. I am with thee, Israel passing through the fire. And the Lord does enter into the hearts of his dear people, and they learn what it is to know his presence. They learn what it is to rest upon him and to know that he is with them. With them in this blessed way, through the merits and death and resurrection and intercession of his dear Son, that he has loved them with an everlasting love, that they are peculiarly his, and that his concern is their salvation, and that he will bring them through life's pathway and bring them to be with himself where he is. And he will teach them and he will bless them. And the only way to know him is to be brought down in weakness and in temptation and in darkness and in many sorrows to have fellowship with the man of sorrows who was himself acquainted with grief, who walked this pathway in this life. What a blessed pathway it is, strengthened. You know, I thought of those words, we are weak with him. He knew the path of weakness. His dear people are brought to know it themselves, deeply to know it, their own weakness in body, soul and spirit, and yet to be brought to know what it is for him to strengthen them and to draw near to them and to grant them a little sweet fellowship with him in the pathway he walked. We are weak with him. Oh, what a blessed word it is. The Lord knows the pathway of his dear people. I felt it this morning. What a blessed word that is, that the Lord himself should come here and be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And as he looks down upon his dear people, he understands their weakness, and it is his great delight to strengthen them in the way and enable them to fight that good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. And when he strengthens them in the way, when they have sweet moments of his strength and know what it is to run the race that is set before them with his strength, then they can speak as the Apostle Paul did. He knew much in his experience of the presence of his God, enabling him to endure unto the end and to endure all things. And the dear man of God could thus speak with great authority and look forward to the Lord's presence with him in whatever lay before him. As I said this morning, he was lying in his cell in his bonds, waiting for a sentence of death. And he didn't know whether it was for life or death. Yet now he speaks of death. I can do all things. Oh, how we see this, that the comfort of God's dear church in a dying hour is the pathway he has blessed them in as they pass through this life, the blessings he's given them, the strength he has manifest in their hearts and souls the pardon of their sins through his precious blood, how he has strengthened them and enabled them to stand, given them that blessed strength that he is preparing them for that day when in abject weakness they will lay down their life and be taken from the body to be present with him. And the apostle was looking forward to that blessed time. He says, as we read this evening, we read of him speaking of us being in a strait, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. We remember that in his last letter to Timothy, he said, I am now ready. Oh, how the Lord had strengthened him. He could face eternity and death with precious faith, strengthened to stand in that hour. I am now ready to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. I have fought, he said, a good fight. I have finished my course. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. What strength in the face of eternity. Oh, it is the Lord that strengthened his dear people. As I spoke this morning of my dear friend John Rayner, mightily strengthened in his dying hour. Oh, what a witness to the Lord's mercy and his blessing upon his dear people. I can do all things. I can suffer. I can bleed. I can die, says the dear hymn writer. And the Lord's people are called upon to suffer, to be hated. Their master was hated. We read in Scripture, they hated him without a cause. I wonder how many of you have known and felt the hatred of the world. Oh, how the Lord spoke, if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And the Lord's dear people are brought to that place where they know and will know, if they're his people, that they will be like Nicodemus when the Pharisees said to him, art thou one of them? And he was. He was the man that the Lord had ordained to take his body from the cross to the tomb. And he was recognized, even though he was a secret disciple. He was recognized, art thou one of them? And I wonder how many of you young people have felt the hatred of the world already, that you're marked out as something different. Then I say to you tonight, you've got to stand. How will you stand? Ah, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And when the Lord brings into our lives crosses, the Apostle Paul knew what it was to have a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet him. The Lord had granted him a blessed revelation of himself, but the dear man was brought to that place where he needed a balancing, that he shouldn't glory in it. And so the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh. And he besought the Lord thrice to take it from him. But you know, the Lord strengthened him. He didn't take it away. In his weakness and in his thorn in the flesh, the Lord left him with it. But he gave him a promise. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the Lord strengthens his dear people with his blessed, exceeding great and precious promises, and they're enabled to stand. They live upon them. Their thorn in the flesh never goes away. Their cross is never taken away. I say to you again tonight, so many things in life's pathway that we poor creatures say within ourselves, I cannot walk that way. Have you ever said it? I cannot do that. Grace is given to walk that way, and you look back upon it, as I do upon my baptism, and I can truly say, the Lord enabled me, He strengthened me, oh, to venture on Him, venture wholly, let no other trust intrude, none but Jesus, none but Jesus, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. I can do all things. What a sweet confession it is of God's dear people venturing upon Him, leaning upon Him, doing those things which in and of themselves and passing through those pathways and those deep waters of life's pathway which they felt, looking back on, they never could come through, and yet they did come through. They were brought through, and they were brought through by the presence of their God, the blessed reality of it, that He knew their pathway, He knew the moment, He knew the time they needed that strength, and He came to their need and visited their soul, and they felt His word spoken into their hearts with divine power, and they knew what it was to run their race before Him and to run in strength, and their fears and their temptations and their weakness were all taken away, and they knew the peace of God which passed all understanding. They knew what it was to walk in the light of His countenance, in His love, and in the knowledge of His presence, and they could say in honour to His holy name, regarding what they'd known of Himself, they could say, I can do all things, nothing left out, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I tell you this, there is no other strength in this world worth having. Man stands in his own strength, but God's dear children stand in the strength of their God Himself. He it is that strengthens them. And it is a blessed thing as we pass through life's pathway to lean upon Him and to rest upon Him and to prove as we go through that He is with us and that He is ours and that He will never leave us nor forsake us. I can do all things. Oh, what a blessed mercy it is, a God who changes not, who loves His dear people and will bring them one day safely to be with Himself. I can do all things. The apostle, I say in conclusion, was facing eternity as he wrote these words, and yet he could say so sweetly, for to me to live is Christ, is to walk in His presence, and to know His everlasting arms underneath. He spoke of the reality of the presence of His Saviour. To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £575, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening. Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Izzard is expected to preach in the evening. Let us now close with hymn 667. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. 667.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you each. Amen.